From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called When Thieves Fall Out, part of this series on the book of Judges. In chapter 9, Gideon, the greatest of Israel's judges, has died. In his old age, Gideon had fallen into spiritual decline, resulting in coldness and idolatry among the people. Following his death, his illegitimate son Abimelech murdered all but one of Gideon's 70 legitimate sons and proclaimed himself king. He was aided in this coup by the men of Shechem. Jotham, the lone survivor of the purge, employed a fable to declare God's curse upon those traitors, likening Abimelech's pact with the Shechemites to the trees of the forest, appointing a bramble to be their king. He prophesied the destruction of the trees by fire from the bramble. As it turned out, the prophecy came true, for the Lord sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, ultimately resulting in Abimelech's shameful death. Dr. Cairns is using this historical narrative to call attention to the great crime of apostasy, which is threatening to engulf Christ's church in a wicked one-world system that denies the gospel. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled, When Thieves Fall Out. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Never Forsakes. The text is Psalm 94 and verse 14. For the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. No, nor will He cast even so much as one of them. Man has his cast-offs, but God has none. For His choice is unchangeable, and His love is everlasting. None can find out a single person whom God has forsaken after having revealed Himself savingly to him. This grand truth is mentioned in the psalm to cheer the heart of the afflicted. The Lord chastens His own, but He never forsakes them. The result of the double work of the law and the rod is our instruction, and the fruit of that instruction is a quieting of spirit, a sobriety of mind, out of which comes rest. The ungodly are let alone till the pit is digged into which they will fall and be taken. But the godly are sent to school to be prepared for their glorious destiny hereafter. Judgment will return and finish its work upon the rebels, but it will equally return to vindicate the sincere and godly. Hence we may bear the rod of chastisement with calm submission. It means not anger, but love. God may chasten and correct, but He never can neglect. May in faithfulness reprove, but He ne'er can cease to love.
Steadfast faith in God.
The greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preaching during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Thank you. sounds foolish to put your trust under the shadow of a thistle. It's even more foolish to put your trust in Abimelech. And there'll come out fire from the thistle to burn you. And in the message that followed it up, there'll come out in this great anathema that Jotham placed upon them, there'll come out fire from you to burn Abimelech. And that's exactly how it transpired. For there's a God in heaven. And I like what it says in verse 23. God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. God put a division between them. God turned them one against the other, with the result that the men of Shechem sought another leader, Gaal. And then when he was defeated, Abimelech came to raise the city and the tower, succeeded. Then went to the next neighboring city that was probably, indeed, necessarily in the whole scheme. And there he tried to do again what he had done at Shechem, only to find a woman whose aim was very certain, got him in her sights, and broke his skull with a piece of millstone. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did in slaying his brethren. And he also rendered to the men of Shechem on their own heads all that they did, and brought about the curse of Jotham on them all. I like those words, as I've said. God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. There's an old saying that starts, when thieves fall out. Well, here you have it, when thieves fall out. Or as I call this, an ancient history with a solemn message for the last days. What we have here is a very simple historical setting. But let me say that what we have here is a simple historical setting with a message that is replete with prophetic insight for every age of the church's history, but very particularly for the last of the last days. When you read the Old Testament scriptures, you have many vivid foreshadowings, if that's not a contradiction in terms. But I'll stick with it. Vivid foreshadowings of the Antichrist. You have Cain. You study the life of Cain, the first murderer, and you will have a very clear insight into the character of Antichrist, the slayer of the people of God. You have Nimrod, the first king of Babel, who is a very, very powerful picture of Antichrist, the last king of Babel. You have Pharaoh, the king who knew not Joseph, who sought to eliminate the testimony of God from the earth. A picture again of Antichrist and his hatred of the people of God. You have Goliath of Gath, that giant power defying the armies of Israel, standing in battle against David and falling before him. Thank God, just a picture of a greater giant who will fall before David's greater son. And you have Abimelech, one of the most outstanding pictures or parallels of Antichrist in Scripture. What you have here then is a history with a message for the last days. I'm going to be preaching tonight, therefore, from this history on things that are very much up to date and things that are reaching out into the ages or the years that are yet to come. We're going to be dealing with the great apostasy. You see, first and foremost, what we have here is a great crime. It is the crime of apostasy. You must understand that undergirding everything that happens in this chapter is an apostasy from the word and the truth of God. There is an apostasy from the religion of God's inspired and infallible revelation. There is a rejection of the supremacy, of the sovereignty, and of the uniqueness of the God of Israel. When you read through the book of Judges, you cannot help but be impressed with how frequently and seemingly how very easily Baal worship resurfaces. Baal worship is Babylonianism. Baal worship is anti-Christianity. If you want to take a long time and establish that proposition, you can do so. It certainly can be easily done. This is the great apostasy, always ready to stride forward, to deny God's word, to deny God's person, to deny God's son, to deny Christ's sacrifice, and to seek to establish another religion, even while it retains something of the name and even of the practice of the old biblical religion. This is something that not only do you find in the book of Judges, but you find it throughout history. And this is something that you find at the heart of Bible prophecy. It is a shame in America today when there is an overweening emphasis on prophetic matters, that the prophecies of God's word have been turned by unscrupulous preachers into little more than entertainment, ear tickling. So that you have all sorts of crazy schemes. Preachers on television and radio are very well aware that if they can come at the right time, it's rather difficult now just with the current state of international relations. They've got to do a little flip-flopping to make it sound good. But if they can make this picture that the Bible is prophesying the gathering of great Russian armies, and these Russian armies are just about to march upon Israel, and of course, since America is Israel's chief supporter, they're just ready to run at America, now they know they're going to get a lot of support, and they're going to get a lot of dollars. Comes as a very big shock to most Christians to realize that there's not anything by the way of positive proof that the Bible even ever mentions Russia. I am not a prophet, and I certainly have no training or skill in political science or in political philosophy. But for quite some time, long before what was happening in the east of Europe, I have personally believed that communism was something that was not here to stay. That communism is not, and I've preached this for years, it is not the final enemy of the people or of the church of God. Oh, it is a vicious, filthy, atheistic, devil-inspired enemy. But I say it is a tragedy that when the Bible has much to say concerning the days to come, there is a lot of ear-tickling going on, and all the time, the heart of the matter is rarely ever dealt with, namely, the emergence of the great apostasy. That's what needs to be preached as a warning to God's people today. That apostasy, to elevate the new religion, as we'll see in a moment, really an old religion, the ancient diabolical substitute for the truth of God, to elevate another king, another system, and as far as need be, to wipe out every witness of the Word of God. That apostasy is very much alive and well in every generation. It is very, very active at this time. In context here, we can see the characteristics of this great crime of apostasy. Time forbids that we will look at these in great detail. This apostasy rises on the sin and compromise of godly men. When you stop to think of it, there could have been no Abimelech without Gideon. That's a tragedy. Gideon stands as one of the giant saints of the Old Testament. And yet it was Gideon's compromise, Gideon's sin, Gideon's worldliness, Gideon's failure that not only produced Abimelech, but made him what he was. When God's people begin to compromise and sin, when they get into shame and worldliness, those people will provide a basis for the apostasy. That's why it's vital that God's church today take a stand on the truth. That's why it's vital that our fundamental churches do not allow themselves to drift from the Word of God and become more and more worldly minded. Gideon himself did not become an idolater. You don't expect that of godly men. I don't expect fundamental churches to come around to denying the Bible and denying the deity of Christ. The devil knows rightly that that is not likely to happen. But oh, if he can just introduce enough compromise, enough worldliness, enough laxity in our style of living, enough coldness of heart in our devotion to the things of God, if he can only do that, he'll rob us of any testimony of any value and power in our society. And in our compromise, apostasy can rise. Very interesting here that apostasy revolves around a city of ancient identification with wickedness, the city of Shechem. In Genesis 34, Shechem was the city where the virgin daughter of Israel lost her purity. Interesting. Even more interesting, when we turn over to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and in the 17th chapter we find that the great apostasy of the last days is centered on a great city, which in chapter 18 is referred to as a cage for every unclean bird. A city of ancient identification with wickedness, with immodesty, with immorality, and with sorcery and demonism of every kind, and mostly with great political power. The city is identified for us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America Or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.